morning. Nice to be with you again. Again, thank you for your prayers for the family. We thank you for your prayers for Kevin Yip also. It's not going as well as the doctors thought it was going to go, so we keep him before the Lord. Let's open our Bibles this morning into Hebrews chapter 9. The book of Hebrews, chapter 9, and I might stand back further. Is it fixed now? Or I'll whisper. Hebrews chapter 9 and verse 11. But Christ being come a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. For the blood of bulls and goats and ashes of a heifer, sprinkling the unclean, sanctifieth to the purifying of the flesh. How much more shall the blood of Christ, who through the eternal Spirit offered himself without spot to God, purge your conscience from dead works to serve the living God? And for this cause he is the mediator of a new testament, that by means of death, for the redemption of the transgressions that were under the first testament, that they which are called might receive the promise of eternal inheritance. For where a testament is, there must also of necessity be the death of the testator. For the testament is of force after men are dead. Otherwise, it is of no strength at all while the tester lives. Whereupon neither the first testament was dedicated without blood. For when Moses had spoke every precept to all the people according to the law, he took the blood of calves and of goats and with water and scarlet wool and hyssop and sprinkled both the book and all the people, saying, this is the blood of the new testament which God has enjoined to you. Moreover, he sprinkled likewise the blood both of the tabernacle and all the vessels of the ministry. And almost all things are by the law purged with blood, and without the shedding of blood there is no remission. It was therefore necessary that the patterns of things in the heavens should be purified with these, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. For Christ is not entered into holy places made with hands, which are figures of the true, but into heaven itself, now to appear in the presence of God for us, nor yet that he should offer himself often as the high priest entereth into the holy place every year with the blood of others. For then must he often have suffered since the foundation of the world. But now once in the end of the world he hath appeared to put away sin by the sacrifice of himself. And as it is appointed unto men once to die, but after this the judgment, so Christ was once offered to bear the sins of many, and unto them that look for him shall he appear the second time without sin unto salvation. And the Lord will bless the reading of his word to us this morning. We have a high priest, beloved. A high priest was that special man in those times of the Old Testament who was in charge of the priesthood. I guess that was his primary thing, and organize it. But the special, and he had special garments that he would wear, and tunics, and a special mitre that he put on his head. Supposed he looked a little bit like the Pope with his big hat on, according to the pictures and the models that we sometimes see of the high priest. But probably his greatest and most well-known attribute or occupation that he had was to go into the holiest of holies. into that very place where the throne of God was in the Old Testament. In early times, he would go into the holiest of holies there in the tabernacle. He would enter into the holy place and go into that curtain, and he'd see the candelabra on the one side, and he'd see the bread of the table of with the bread of showbread on the one side, and the golden altar of incense. But once a year, he would go by that second curtain. And as he went by that second curtain, he went into the very throne of God himself, onto the mercy seat that was on top of the Ark of the Covenant. That was probably his most well-known job that he had to do. Now, beloved, in the Old Testament, let's just turn there. So I know there's some new Christians here. We better just turn there. Leviticus chapter 16. Leviticus chapter 16. And verse 11, and Aaron was the high priest, and Aaron shall bring the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself, and shall make an atonement for himself and his house, and shall kill the bullock of the sin offering, which is for himself. Do you notice the word that got repeated there a whole bunch of times? Himself, exactly. So he would go in. He wasn't a perfect man. He was a man just like you and I, tempted in different ways and failing in different ways, just as you and I do. And he had to make a sin sacrifice for himself. Verse 12. And he shall take a censer full of burning coals of fire from the altar before the Lord, and his hands full of sweet incense, beaten small, and bring it within the veil. That's he's going on the other side of that curtain into the holiest of holies. And he shall put incense upon the fire before the Lord, that the cloud of incense may cover the mercy seat that is upon the testimony, that he die not. The mercy seat, that's what I'm calling the throne of God. And he shall take the blood of the bullock and sprinkle it with his finger upon the mercy seat eastward, and sprinkle before the mercy seat, and shall sprinkle the blood with his finger seven times. Then he shall kill the goat of the sin offering that is for the people, and bring his blood within the veil, and do with the blood as he did with the blood of the bullock, and sprinkle it upon the mercy seat and before the mercy seat. And he shall make atonement for the holy place because of the uncleanness of the children of Israel, and because of their transgressions and their sins, and so shall he do for the tabernacle of the congregation that remaineth among them in the midst of their uncleanness. Now, do we catch the word that repeats itself, their uncleanness? First was his, himself, and now it's their uncleanness. And so how many sacrifices do we count so far? There's one for himself, that's one, and one for the people. So that's two sacrifices he's making. It's the same day, but he's making these two sacrifices, one for the sins of himself and one for the sins of the people. And in doing the one for the sins of the people, it says he's making atonement for this tabernacle because they defiled it. Now let's go back to Hebrews chapter 9 again. Verse 11 again. But Christ being become a high priest of good things to come, by a greater and more perfect tabernacle, not made with hands, that is to say, not of this building, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. How many times did Jesus, as high priest, enter in? Just once. How come? He didn't have to offer sin for himself, offer a sacrifice for sin for himself, did he? He was perfect. He was the Lamb of God without spot, without blemish. He was the one who knew no sin, Paul writes in Corinthians. He's the one who did no sin, Peter writes. He's the one in whom was no sin, John writes. And the author to the Hebrews would earlier write that he was tempted in all ways just as we, but apart from sin. The perfect one. He had no sacrifice to offer for himself. So he only offered one sacrifice. He only went in once. We read in the Old Testament that the high priest entered in once for himself, and then he entered left because he had to get the other sacrifice, kill the other sacrifice, and then he would enter in again. And he'd make that one sacrifice for himself and one for the people. But the Lord Jesus, when he made a sacrifice, he only made a sacrifice for your sins and for my sins. One. It's all the same sacrifice because he had no sin in himself. And beloved, that's part of the reason why it's a better covenant. The writer to the Hebrews would explain in different places. Once he would say, you know, high priests died in the Old Testament. They had this horrible problem. They just kept dying. They'd get old and they would die. They would get sick and they would die. They would sometimes get zapped because they did something wrong and they would die. And they had this horrible, horrible problem of dying. And when they died, they could no longer intercede for the people. But you know, beloved, Jesus, he died once, not for his own sins, but for your sins and for my sins. And after he died, death was a little bit shocked. It couldn't keep its prey. It had to let him go. It had no dominion over him. Death could not keep him down, and the stone was rolled away not to let Jesus out, but to show that he wasn't there. And beloved, he's alive. The writer to the Hebrews would put it this way, that, and he ever liveth to make intercession for you and for me. That is why he's able to save to the uttermost, to the very end. He can't fail because he died for your sins and my sins, not for his own sins. And so death couldn't keep him down, so he rose again and ever lives. And he intercedes for you and for me. Part of our glorious salvation that God has given. It's an eternal salvation because Jesus lives forevermore. It's also interesting, I suppose, in this section, he talks about a tabernacle not made with hands. It talks about the tabernacle in this world as being a model, as being a prototype, as being a picture, a thought model of heavenly things. And these would have to be done year after year because the people kept sinning year after year and the high priest kept sinning year after year. And this was the very presence of God. And only one person could ever go into the very presence of God, and he could only go once a year, the high priest. But it says, we're reading, that Jesus entered into a tabernacle not made with hands. A real tabernacle that's not a model. A real tabernacle that's a real place where the real throne of God is. And he made it ready for you and for me. Not just for himself, but for you and for me. That where, well, Jesus put it this way, you believe in God, believe also in me. He would say, in my Father's house there are many mansions, and I'm going to go and I'm going to prepare a place for you. So that where I am, you might be also. John chapter 14 reads. And beloved, part of that preparation was, you know, there was a place for the high priest to go in once a year. In the Old Testament. There was never, ever, ever a place for the common people to go in. There was never, ever a place for even a different priest who wasn't the high priest to go in. It was only the high priest that could go into what we would call the presence of God in that sense. But Jesus, he went past the model. He went past the pattern. He went past the type, past the picture, and went into heaven itself. The real heavenly tabernacle. I think Neil this morning was reading the Lord from heaven as he was reading 1 Corinthians 15. And he went there and sanctified it for you and for me by his own blood. So that where he is, you and I can be one day also. Because he didn't offer two sacrifices or three sacrifices or four sacrifices. He offered one sacrifice for your sin and for my sin. And with that sacrifice, he prepared heaven for you and for me. Well, how do you know that? Well, you know, you remember one day, approximately 2,000 years ago, it was around this time of year. I think Passover is in another week. Was the time when Jesus went to Calvary's cross. There they couldn't really find fault with him. Of course, he did no sin. In him was no sin. He knew no sin. And they tried to accuse him, and they never could. They tried to trap him. Moses says we should stone such a woman. What do you say? And they thought, we got him trapped now, because if he says, well, just have mercy on this lady, well, then he's not a friend of sinners. And if he says, or then he's not upholding the word of God. And he says, if he says stone her, then he's not a friend of sinners. What are we going to do with him? And they thought they had him trapped. But he said, well, you know, that's exactly what the law of Moses says. Well, pretty close anyways. And, well, you know, he who is without sin, he can cast the first stone. And they tried to trap him. They tried to trip him up. They tried to get him to sin, but they never could. Sometimes we think the only temptation Christ endured were those three temptations in the wilderness. He was tempted in all ways as you and I are. Not only in ways that you and I are not tempted. I've never been tempted to turn a rock into bread. Anybody here ever been tempted to turn a rock into bread? We're all tempted in different ways. Blanquita is tempted in different ways than Harold, and Harold is tempted into different ways than Tim, and Tim is tempted in different ways than I am. And the Lord was tempted in different ways than we are. But he was tempted in all ways as we are, and yet without sin, sin apart. And they tried to trick him, and they tried to trap him, and in the end, they could only say, repeating the words of Pilate, "I find no fault in him. He's perfect." He thought he could wash away his guilt by washing his hands, but that's just an outside thing, isn't it? It can't really do anything. It just makes your hands clean. Now you can eat. It could never really cleanse your conscience, could it? But Jesus, I'm not sure if this is the right way to say it, but he just went along for the ride, so to speak. I'm not exactly sure if that's the right way to say it. Probably not. He just kept on doing his Father's will. And he just went on. And then he was whipped and beaten and spat upon, chastised for things that he never did, made fun of, bullied. And he opened not his mouth until he was nailed to that cross. And we hear those words, "Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do." Imagine enduring all that unfair, all that unjust pain and agony and torture and not opening your mouth. And then when you do open your mouth, you say, "Father, forgive them." We get upset when we get a speeding ticket. And it was our fault. We were the ones pressing the gas pedal. 200 or 300, I don't know what a speeding ticket costs. I haven't got one for a long time. I probably shouldn't say that, but because now I'm going to get one. But you know what I mean. And then he said, "Father, into thy hands I commend my spirit." And he gave up the ghost and he died. And there was an earthquake, and the rocks trembled, and the veil that divided the holy place from the Holy of Holies was torn in two from top to bottom. It says that this curtain was a hand's breadth. Now, if you look at your hand, you could have two breadths. It could either be this way or this way. I'm not exactly sure which way it goes. But you know, even if it was this way, it's still a 2-inch thick curtain. And if it's this way, it's about a 6-inch thick curtain. And it was just torn. We think those muscle guys are pretty strong, tearing a telephone book in half. Well, in the olden days when they used to have telephone books, but it's just paper and binding. This is a sewn veil, torn in two from top to bottom, falling to the ground, and the holiest of holies was opened for you and for me. Because Jesus once for all entered into the holiest of holy place with one sacrifice, not for himself, but for you and for me. And he paid the eternal price, not in a tabernacle made with hands, not by Moses, not by the artisans of the Old Testament, not by Solomon and the artisans of his time, but into the reality of heaven itself. And beloved, the way to the very presence of God is open for you and for me. I think it was Harold St. John who shared this one time. And he would say, when the Lord Jesus was on the cross, the last indignity he endured was the spear into his side. And when they stuck the spear into his side, not to kill him, but just to make sure he was dead, water and blood flowed out. Around our heart, we have a pericardium that's filled with fluid. It appears to be like water. It keeps our heart from banging into our ribs and rupturing itself. It's a protective thing there. And then blood flowed out. And Harold St. John made the comment, "Beloved, the very way to the heart of God has been now opened by the death of the Lord Jesus Christ." And you know, beloved, our perfect high priest went to Calvary's cross and paid a price for you and I, that one day there's a guarantee of the heaven of heavens for us, not just a place, because it sure wouldn't be much of a place if God wasn't there. But beloved, he prepared us a place in the very presence of God, that where he is, you and I will be eternally with him. Sometimes this world's tough. Sometimes we don't know what's going on. We might be in ICU like Kevin is right now. We might be just waiting for the Lord to say, come, like Phyllis is doing right now. We might be in our own homes with headaches and toothaches and leg aches and hip aches and foot aches and shoulder aches, and we might have cancer aches. We might be younger and have heartaches. We might have the stress of economic aches and marital aches. Life is tough. But beloved, we have a blessed hope before us, because Jesus once offered a sacrifice for sins as the perfect high priest, not for his own, and he ever lives to make intercession for us. We have a blessed Savior, and he's a high priest up high, looking upon us in our distress. And you know, he's seated there. He's seated because the work is finished as high priest. But every now and then, you know, he stands up, as he did for Stephen. You ever been greeted by somebody sitting down when they come to your home, when you go to their home? They always stand up and welcome you home, don't they? They come to the door and greet you and say, hello, welcome. They always do that. And what was the Lord Jesus doing when Stephen was dying? He stood up to welcome him home. And beloved, that's our Savior, always a gentleman to us. We bless him this morning. Our Father in heaven, we thank you for Jesus, your Son. We thank you that as high priest, he not only represented you to us, but he represents us to you. And we thank you that he died for his sins, or not his sins, but for our sins. He didn't die for any sin he'd committed. He paid the price for our sins, that where he would be, there we can be also. And we know he only died for our sins and not for his sins, because he rose from the grave. It's appointed unto man once to die, we were reading, and after that the judgment. And in some ways, Christ died like all men died. And then the judgment came. And judgment went, oops, we can't keep him. He didn't sin. And one day he's going to appear a second time to receive us unto himself. And Father, though we're suffering and life isn't so good sometimes down below, we have that blessed hope to look forward to be with our Savior, your Son, one day. And we look forward to that day, and that day cheers and warms and encourages our hearts. There'll be no sorrow there. And we'll joy around our Savior. So bless your word, we pray, for the honor and the glory of the Lord Jesus. Amen.